We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, the church definitely keeps its own calendar, and the calendar is often marked or punctuated by the church remembering those who have gone before us in the faith. It's a very important exercise that the church continues to do century in, century out. Saints of the Old Testament, saints of the New Testament, and the saints of the church that have followed in their train. We're going to be on this Labor Day. We're going to be doing a lot of that in the next 2 hours of Issues, etc. Yesterday, it was Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel. Tomorrow, the church is remembering the prophet Moses. There's a big one. And today, 6th century bishop and Dr. Gregory the Great. And then, just a couple days hence, it'll be Zacharias and Elizabeth from the New Testament. We're going to cover all of that in the next 2 hours of Issues, etc. Greetings and welcome on this Labor Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be with us for the first few minutes here to remember the mother of Samuel, Hannah. And then Dr. David Adams will be with us for the remainder of the hour. We'll talk about Moses. We'll cover Gregory the Great with Pastor Heath Curtis in the second hour, and then we'll round it all off. Dr. Arthur Just will join us to talk about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Dr. Andrew Steinman is a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. He's professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago, and he's author of the Concordia Commentaries on Daniel, Proverbs, and Ezra and Nehemiah. Dr. Steinman, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Nice to be back with you, Todd.
Why is God always doing this, giving barren women children like Hannah?
Well, I think for two reasons. One was an Old Testament cultural reason, was that it was a way to honor faithful women that God wanted to reward. In the Old Testament culture, it was a great shame for a woman not to be able to provide for the future of her family by having children. So it's a way of God showing his grace to these women. But I think more importantly, it's also a way of God showing what he does for all of us, because, of course, because of our sin, we are really barren of everything. We have no good works before God because of our own righteousness or our own works, and God provides us with those things through faith in his Son, as his Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And so, in a way, I believe he allows these women to have children as a greater picture of allowing us to have the good things that we can do in Christ.
Do they also foreshadow, at least in some way, what God would do in the incarnation of his own Son in a virgin's womb?
Well, absolutely. If he can work in the womb of these women in the Old Testament, Hannah, a great example, but also we might think of Sarah, Abraham's wife. We can see how he also, therefore, can even in a greater way work in the womb of Mary, who was a virgin. And so it's a little bit of a foretaste of the incarnation in a way. And oftentimes these children born to these women a gift of God for a greater purpose that ultimately leads up to his greatest purpose, Jesus.
Tell us the story of Hannah as we find it there in the first book of Samuel.
Yeah, in the first two chapters, we meet Hannah, who is married to a man named Elkanah. She is one of two wives that Elkanah has, and Elkanah, who is a priest, is very faithful to God, always goes down to the tabernacle to worship on the feast that where God said they should worship. And when they go down to those feasts, he would receive some of the meat from the sacrifice to share with his family, as the law said that the worshipers would receive. And he would share this with both of his wives, Hannah, who had no children, and Peninnah, who had several children. But Hannah was always so upset that she didn't have children, and especially because the other wife, Peninnah, rubbed it in that she didn't have children, that Hannah would not eat. She was too upset to eat, I suppose. And even though Elkanah obviously loves her and he says to her, "Aren't I better to you than many children?" She's still upset by all this. And so one of these times, she's in the tabernacle. She's praying to God, very upset, and her lips are moving. She's praying silently, but her lips are moving, and the high priest Eli sees her and assumes that she's drunk and tries to correct her and upbraid her and say, you know, you shouldn't be drunk when you're praying to the Lord in the presence of God in his house. And she corrects him and says, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm just upset, and I don't have any children." Eli, the high priest, actually offers her God's blessing. And as she's praying, she promises that if God gives her a son, she would dedicate that son to him, which, of course, is especially meaningful because this being a priestly family. And so we're told that, indeed, God does hear her prayer and grants her request. And so she has this son whom she names Samuel, which actually means God has heard or God has listened. So she acknowledges that this is indeed a gift of God just by the way she names the child. Well, when the child's old enough, she brings him down to the tabernacle and puts him under Eli, the high priest. And so Samuel will be learning to be a priest from a very early age, earlier than normal, because usually men didn't begin serving as priests until age 30. But Samuel kind of has an early apprenticeship so that he's ready to step into it when he's about age 30. And the last thing we really hear from Hannah is a beautiful prayer she has in chapter 2, where she rejoices in what God has given her and how he has lifted her out of the poverty of not having children into the riches of having children. And indeed, she will have other children, the Bible tells us. And so when we come to about the middle of chapter 2, that's all we hear of this great and godly woman. But we do have this wonderful story of how God worked with her and this wonderful prayer that she prays.
This prayer that she prays is amazingly a parallel to the same kind of a prayer that Mary, the mother of our Lord, speaks after she's visited with Elizabeth, usually called the Magnificat.
Absolutely, and I believe that the Magnificat is based upon Mary's knowledge of this prayer. There are just too many echoes for it not to have been. So I believe, you know, Mary, as a godly woman, probably read the scriptures and knew very well what Hannah had prayed, and she adapts many of the images, much of the language, to praise God for choosing her and blessing her as he had blessed Hannah before her.
Then, since we don't hear much more of her, and yet she is a woman who is rewarded for her faithfulness and for her, it sounds like, not just faithfulness, but for her total dependence upon God's provision. What do we learn by way of example? After all, we remember these saints not only for their examples of how God shows the mercy, but also for their examples of faith. What do we learn from Hannah?
Well, I think we learn, first of all, that she is very humble before God. She's a great example of humility before God. She knows she has no right to ask or demand a child from God, nor does she do that. So I think in that way she's a great example to us also, because we, of course, have no right to stand before God and demand that he do anything for us. And she could have been angry and frustrated and blamed God for not having given her children, but she doesn't do that. She humbly stands before God and trusts in Him. And so I think in that respect, she's a great example. I think also her prayer itself shows us that she's a great example of prayer. She prays in the tabernacle, and then we have this prayer in chapter 2 again. She's a great example of someone who takes God at His invitation to come to Him with all our concerns and cares. And so I think Hannah as a woman of prayer is another great example for us to be people of prayer before God. And then I think she's also, by what she says at the end of her prayer, a great example of trusting in God's promises in Jesus Christ. At the very end of her prayer, she says, God will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed one. And at this time in Israel, there was no king. And the anointed one, of course, that in Hebrew, that's Messiah, in Greek, Christ. And I believe she was actually looking forward to the time when God would rescue His people, not just by giving them children as she was given, but by giving the ultimate child, the Christ child, who would be the eternal king, the anointed one of God, to rescue His people. So I think she's also a great picture of abiding faith in Christ and in the promise of the coming Christ in her day. So in these ways, I think she's just a wonderful, marvelous model to Christians of all ages.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago, author of several books and commentaries, including The Oracles of God. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, when we come back, we're going to jump on tomorrow's remembrance of probably the biggest figure in the Old Testament. Next to Abraham, you have the prophet Moses. He is the one who sees God face to face and speaks as God's prophet par excellence. Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary will be our guest when we come back on this Labor Day, Monday, September the 3rd.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.